Good morning. It's good to see all of you out, and nice and warm, isn't it? But we can praise the Lord for days like this. In about 6 months or so, we'll be saying, wow, wish we could have some of these wonderful summer days. It seems like we're always wishing for something that we don't have, right? But we can praise the Lord. He is always good, and He knows what is best for us. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins and take just a quick look at the backside of that bulletin and see what's going on this week and the weeks to come. We do have our Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry today, and that's at 3 o'clock. We leave the church at 2:30, so keep that in mind. Then we have our normal services this week, ladies and men's Bible study at Tuesday night, and then also our Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday. We have our happy birthdays and our anniversaries there. We're pleased to have Gary and Wilma Sammons with us this morning, and they just got done with a conference at Faith Baptist Bible College with Baptist Mid-Missions, and Gary will be preaching this morning, and then we'll be having a fellowship afterwards, and so be sure to stay after for a meal downstairs, and even if you didn't bring something, we invite you to come downstairs and have a great time of fellowship. And then also, whenever we have our offering this morning, if you'd like to designate something toward the Sammons ministry, go ahead and write that on your offering envelope, and we definitely want to support them in their ministry. Then also, as you see down below, we have a heading there, do you enjoy free gifts? And Diana Negrette is kind of downsizing her personal possessions. And so this coming Saturday on August the 14th, 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll be opening up the bus barn, and we're going to have a lot of things to give away. And so the church family is welcome to come at 8 o'clock and take whatever you can use. And then at 8:30, we're going to open it up to the wider community. And so keep that in mind, and I encourage you to come and take advantage of that. And then also, on next Sunday, Sunday night, August the 15th, Andy Scott will be back from Boston, and he will be presenting and preaching on Sunday night, August the 15th. That's the next Sunday night. And then also, at the very bottom of the bulletin, we have information concerning Dan Knox. Dan will soon be deployed to Afghanistan. Right now, he is at Camp Shelby. He'll be there for 4 to 6 weeks, and then he'll be going to California and then to Afghanistan. And we have his address there. If you'd like to send him an encouraging note, he would appreciate that a lot. We'd definitely be praying for him, as this is definitely a challenging time for him. Excuse me. A challenging time for him, as well as for the family. And so we'll be keeping him in prayer. I think that is all of our announcements. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. And I do thank you for this time together as a group of born-again believers at Nordville Baptist Church, a time to worship you, to give you praise. And I do thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, the one who died on the cross for us. I thank you that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I do thank you for that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you that whoever believes on His name has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow. Thank you for saving us. I thank you for calling us to a ministry of serving you, of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and then discipling those who believe. So I do thank you for planting Nordville Baptist Church here in this community. I pray that we'd have a heart for the people here, as well as for the lost worldwide. I pray that we'd have a burden to share what Jesus has done in our life. And so I do even pray for our missionaries, and I do even thank you that Gary and Wilma are with us this morning. And thank you that you have an opportunity to share with us how God has been working in their life and in the lives of so many others. Even do pray for some of our other missionaries, for the Sammons. For the Sammons, but I do pray for the Pieces down in Brazil, as they have a great ministry sharing the gospel there. I do even pray for Phil Peterson, as he's in Kentucky, having a great ministry there. And even for the Silcots, as they're traveling around preaching the word. And so many others. Thank you that you are faithful. And I thank you that you have encouraged us to pray for one another so that we may have a word, a door for the word, an open door. And so I even do pray for those within our congregation, many that are under the weather. Think of Chuck and Karen Randalls as they continually struggle with their health. Even do pray for Mona Ruby as she's been under the weather here. I pray for her in a special way. Even do pray for Dan Knox as he is in Camp Shelby. Pray that you'd bless him in a great way, that you'd give him strength and comfort. And for the many others in the armed services, preparing to serve you. Preparing to serve this country. And so I do even pray, as we are here this morning, I pray that our focus would be upon you. I pray that you'd be glorified in a great way. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
No. Let's stand together this morning as we begin. Let's take out those sheets I trust you have. If you don't, slip up your hand quickly and the ushers will get one for you. Let's sing Speak, O Lord, to begin this morning.
Majesty, worship His majesty.
this morning, if you've seen your hymnals, your bulletins, you'll see that the songs we have this morning are songs extolling and praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so let's move on then to 59. I sing the mighty power of God. This morning, are we thinking about the fact that everywhere that man can be, we've had men on the moon, we've had men in the depths of the ocean, and yet even God is there because He is the Creator. And if you know Jesus Christ this morning, you know Him. Let's be thinking about this morning. At this time, we'll have our scripture reading. Yes.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of Acts and chapter 26. We'll be reading verses 1 through 23 this morning. Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 23. And it says in verse 1, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You are permitted to speak for yourself.' So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, 'I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles.'" Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 23.
Let's continue singing this morning with hymn number 97. 97, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Desire that all his creation would worship him. Jesus even said that if these people do not cry out, the very stones would have to cry out the praises of Jesus Christ. Look at that verse we just sang, the third one. "To him all majesty ascribe." How much? All majesty. Now, right now, this world is in rebellion, but he has called those to be his own through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I trust that you are this morning among them, and in your lives, you cannot have control over the whole world, but you do have control of your own heart. Is in your heart all majesty given to Jesus Christ this morning? If it isn't, I would urge you to pray, to get on that, to see what he requires of you. And then if it is, to sing out. Because this morning we have the opportunity to vocalize along with others of the same belief, of the same faith in Jesus Christ, and extol the name of God who is the Creator. So let's sing that fourth verse. "Oh, that with yonder sacred throne, looking forward to when all the world will be singing his praises." not stop there. Let's go back then to page 8. Number 8, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Take our morning offering. Let's pray. We thank you so much, Father, that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I pray, Father, that this morning we would understand that we have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that because we have been redeemed, Father, that we owe our very selves to you. So, Father, I pray that during this time of giving, I pray that we would put our very selves in the plate, Father. Father, that we would understand that the proceeds which go into the plate from our hand, Father, should not be given out of compulsion or from rote, but Lord, that we would give them understanding, Father, that you have given us so much more. And Father, because of what you have given to us, we owe you all things. Lord, I pray that we would not just put our money in the plate, but Father, that we would give our very selves to you. Every part of ourselves, Lord, and that whatever is required of us, Lord, that we would give it joyfully, thankfully, Father, because you are God. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning that would be impressed upon our hearts and that it would be the characteristic of our lives this morning, this afternoon, and this week. And forever. Because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. been singing hymns, extolling and praising our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no other hymn, no other song, no other medley throughout all of the history of Christendom that has been used to do that more often than the doxology. So I know we don't sing it very often here, but let's turn to 625 as we stand together and sing, Praise God. Participating. You may be seated.
We are truly privileged and blessed to have the Salmons with us this morning, and the Salmons have been faithful ministers of the Lord for many years, and we are pleased to have them. And Gary, come and share with us from God's Word, and also Gary will be sharing us concerning some things going on in their own lives. Gary, the Lord bless.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Just want to thank you so much from the bottoms of our heart for all the faithful years of support financially, especially prayer support that you've given to us. I know my wife's going to say something about the ladies group. I'll just leave that for her, but we appreciate that ladies group so much. And it's just a joy to be here, well, for both the Sunday school class and for the morning service and then the fellowship meal as well. And it was good to be able to speak to Spanish to Elizabeth here from Mexico City. Glad to see that she is in the congregation this morning. We are just delighted to be able to come to our home state every once in a while. We're living in North Carolina, as you know. And we get up here, every couple of years or so. And we wish we could come up more often, never in the wintertime. but it's good to be with you. And so I would like to have my wife come up just for a little while and share two or three things with you. And then we'll explain a little bit about the ministry and share a message with you.
As we look forward to the conference in Ankeny, and as the time gets closer, really what we are excited about is coming to visit you folks and some of our family and friends in the area and returning home. Paula was asking if this really feels like home, seeing how we've lived for 24 years in North Carolina. But this is where we were reared, right here in Des Moines and West Des Moines, and indeed it is our home. We're so thankful that our friend Paula Maxheim is with us this morning. Some of you perhaps have, I know you've heard the Maxheim name, and she is the daughter of Maxheim, who was the photographer, and she continues in that tradition. So please greet her as we close this morning. But I would just have to echo what my husband has said. Thank you so much for standing with us. And when we send emails and give prayer requests, we know that there are people who are going to be praying, and we know that you are among that group, and we thank you so much. And we've kept your prayer life pretty busy the last few years with some of the health issues that our family has had. But it's always wonderful to be able to give a good report. And the last time that that my husband went to the oncologist. When he opened the door and walked into the room, he had a smile on his face. And any day that happens in an oncologist's office is a good day. And so he said, this is the best CAT scan and the best blood report that Gary has had in many years. So we are so thankful. And we know it's because God's people have been praying. And then there's always that issue of breaking a bone. And, you know, March 22nd, we sent you another email saying that he had fallen. Now, here he was trying to do a good thing. He was going to the Y to exercise, but on the way coming out, that's what got him. The sidewalk had a tree root growing underneath, and so it was uneven, and he tripped and fell coming out. But again, we're thankful to report that that bone has healed very well. He has a plate and 5 screws in his leg, but as soon as the muscles get some more activity and heal a little more, then he'll be good to go, as the saying goes. But it's really a blessing that, as we shared with you a couple of years ago, how the Lord has transitioned us from Campus Bible Fellowship into this ministry of theological curriculum writing and teaching and preaching in Latin American Bible institutes, that he has been able to continue with the ministry even though he had to have his leg propped up and was in bed. But as long as he could have that computer and a telephone, he was able to work. And, you know, the Lord is so good, above and beyond, of course, what we all deserve. But there was that transition time from Campus Bible Fellowship into this Hispanic-type ministry. And the Lord knew the timing. He knew that you need to be age-appropriate when you're working with university students. We just have to face that. And thankfully, we are age appropriate for this type of ministry. And isn't the Lord good to look after us, to open doors, and to allow us to continue in his ministry? I wish our family could be with us today. Some of you have met our children. Our oldest is our girl, Elizabeth Ann. We've always called her Beth Ann. Some of you know her by Beth Ann. And she and her family live in Northwest Arkansas. And so after we leave the area, there is a more direct route to get back to North Carolina, but somehow we just always go via Arkansas. And that's where she and her family live. Her husband works for Walmart, and so that's why they've located there. Been there about 16 years in Northwest Arkansas. And of course we have to go there because that's where our grandchildren live. Our oldest granddaughter is Ashley, and she is going to be starting her last year, her senior year of college. And we're so thankful for the interest and love that she has for missions. We don't know if the Lord's going to call her to be a missionary, but she has been to Guatemala twice. She's been to Brazil, and she just returned from South Africa. So that's a real joy to see her obvious love for the Lord. And then our next granddaughter is Victoria, and she's 17, and she's just a real delight. And she was able to come to North Carolina and visit us for a week before we came on this trip. And she's going to be a senior in high school this year. And then our youngest grandson is Ryan, and he's 15, just turned 15 this summer. And so he is in the typical things that a 15-year-old is in. And so we're really looking forward to seeing all of them. Actually, tomorrow night we'll be there. Our son Jim and his wife Karen live real close to us. They just live an hour from us. They live at Lake Norman, just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And both of them work at Bank of America, and they're busy, busy people. You would think, only living an hour apart, that we would see them a lot. But you know how life goes. It's very busy. And so we don't see them as much as we would like. But we're so thankful that they are that close. the Lord has been so good to us, and we want to again thank you for your prayers, for your financial support. You'll notice on the little table below the bulletin board that there is some literature that talks about EBI, this particular branch of Baptist Missions that we work with, and there are some prayer cards there. And also, if you would like to receive our prayer letters by email, we would be delighted to have you on that list. And just put your name and your email address. You know how sensitive email addresses are. Well, you get one little dot wrong, and it is in cyberspace forever, and you never get it. So make sure that we really can read for sure your email address, and we will very soon correspond with you. Thank you again for opening your hearts and your love to us and for praying for us and supporting us. We appreciate it very much.
And we want to thank the Ladies Missionary Fellowship for those cards that you always send us with a paragraph from each lady. That just means so much. You're the only church that does that, and we just want to commend you for that. That just means we look forward to getting those cards from you. I want to just give you a little wrap-up of our ministry and then bring a brief message. Right now, I've got actually two main ministries in which that we're engaged in, and one of them is to direct a Master of Arts in Biblical Studies program in Spanish online to 18 students in the five Latin American countries of Ecuador, the Dominican Republic, Mexico, Peru, and Venezuela. This is such a wonderful opportunity. For instance, in Venezuela, the American missionaries can't be there anymore. Chavez has seen to it that we have to leave. But we do have one couple there who has graduated from Appalachian Bible College, a kind of a sister school to faith that's up there in West Virginia. And that brother is taking a master's program online to better prepare him to be the director of that Bible school. It's got to be in Venezuelan hands, and that's the whole purpose of missions, to make it national, you know. And so I have this privilege of coordinating. I get teachers. I get the textbooks lined up. Most of our courses are taught by English-speaking teachers, and so I get a teacher's assistant that's bilingual who can help that teacher. And we have Lázaro Vega, a man that is of Cuban-American, perfectly bilingual. And we met him when we were interim pastoring a bilingual church in Miami, Florida for 4 months. And wherever we've gone, we've made great contacts that have helped us in our ministry. And so I have this privilege of directing courses. We have offered online courses in research and writing, hermeneutics, introduction to the Old Testament, introduction to the New Testament, Theology 1, Theology 2, the Minor Prophets. And the students are getting A's and B's, mostly A's. And the last time that they took a course in Theology 2, some of them got A pluses. They really are doing well. I think of Jose Mateo, whose testimony I won't read, but he sent me an email. I translated it into English. He said, "Thank you, Brother Gary, for offering this course. Thank you for all the people that had a part in your ministry to give us this course. It means so much to us. We are putting what we are learning into practice. I pray that every day that my fellow workers will be able to finish this course." And some of you know the great need. I've expressed this in a prayer letter. We are coming up short about $25,000 that we owe the Bible College. See, Piedmont Bible College has the online program, and Baptist Missions works in concert with Piedmont. And we owe them $25,000 in back payments for our share of the tuition that we have pledged to pay. And so we had a deadline of 15th of August for this. I think maybe they might extend it through the whole month of August, but if we can't come up with that, we're going to have to suspend the program. And we would hate to do that. And so pray with us along that line that the Lord would open up whatever channel that He sees fit. I know He's going to do it. And in light of that, I have been translating actually 150 pages of notes that Bill Smallman has done in Acts on a master's level, 160 pages from English to Spanish. And this course will be offered October 25th if we get the funds in. And I'm doing it by faith because you can't wait until October 1st to get ready for October the 25th with that many pages. We've also sent the textbooks for this course to the students. So the students, most of the students already have their textbooks for the course in the book of Acts, which is a very key book in the Bible, as you know. And so pray for us that this faith that we're exercising will be honored by the Lord and these funds will be raised. Another aspect of our ministry is I develop theological courses on an undergraduate level. This would be to help students get a bachelor's degree, not a master's degree. And currently I'm working on a course in the study of the Holy Spirit, the study of angels. And we're going to have a couple of videographers come from Baptist Church Planters. I notice you have some missionaries that you support. They have a German name, don't they? The Baptist Church Planters. And we're going to make this DVD of this whole class so that that DVD can go any place where there might not be a teacher that can teach that course. And it'll be there in Spanish. Some of these, I've gone to Cuba, I know. That I did one, I went to San Luis Obispo, California, where the Hearst Castle is, not too far from there. And I made this video on Christology, and that's been used of the Lord, and now we're adding to this particular library so that these DVDs can be used any place where there's not particularly a teacher. I want to share, when we worked with Campus Bible Fellowship, we would go to a foreign country, and I would teach a module at a Bible Institute in Spanish. I noticed that there's this university in Trujillo, Peru. Trujillo, Peru is the capital where they grow almost all the asparagus that's eaten in the world, and sugar cane. But Trujillo's a good-sized city. We've got a Bible college there that has 100 students, and they have people that live in the dorms there, married students, single students. And so I was there teaching two times in the Bible Institute, and we noticed this university there in the town. It's called Cesar Vallejo University. I think that must be a Peruvian poet or something like that. And it's owned by an individual. The whole university is owned by a man. And one of the gals that was going to the Bible Institute also worked on that campus in the office as a secretary. Excuse me. And she knows the owner of the university personally. They are buds. They're buddies just like that. And through her help, and we went on the campus, we got permission from the student activities director to have Campus Bible Fellowship on that university campus. It took a while for it to get started, but now they're going full tilt. They have their officers. They're meeting every week. They almost had a retreat, but they weren't quite able to pull that off. And one of their meetings, Ines wrote me, and she said, in the room that we were given, there wasn't enough room for the students to come to the meeting that they had. They dealt with abortion. I think I already have some water. Thank you so much, Ellie Smith.
Okay.
Showers of blessing. Okay. And so they've been having regular meetings, so we helped to get Campus Bible Fellowship started on that campus. We went to Spain. We were able to be a little catalyst there, and they're getting a Campus Bible Fellowship ministry started in Spain. There's one of our Baptist Missions missionaries is going to go to Spain, and that's going to be her main thrust, is to work on the college campus there. The Universidad de Salamanca, this is the oldest continually operating university in Europe. It got started back at Ferdinand and Isabella's day in Spain. Man, still going strong. So there's a great blessing there, and wherever we go, as I'm able to go to some of these foreign countries in the days ahead now that my health is better, we have invitations to go to Mexico and to Venezuela and to Honduras and back to Spain and Peru and so forth. So we're going to still try to get Campus Bible Fellowship groups going. There's a lot of interest in these countries, and the nationals will do the job. One of our goals is to standardize the Bible college curriculum in these various countries so that when we develop curriculum, you'll see one of my books that I wrote back there that deals with the curriculum that we give to professors in the Bible institutes. And so we can standardize the curriculum. That way, the materials that we are developing can help them better. And then a student can go from one school to the other. And we want to standardize it at least to the point where they can mesh well. And so pray for us along that line that we'll be able to standardize the curriculum in these various countries. I would like you to turn to a verse that the Lord has given me in these sunset years of my ministry. I think we could safely say that this will probably be the last phase of our ministry. We've had several phases. I've even been a chaplain in the Iowa and North Carolina Army National Guard and retired from that. And just one thing after another the Lord has led us to. We've always been in the ministry, but we've had different tracks that we've gone down. Turn with me to Psalm 71, and let's look at verses 17 and 18. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and up to this time I have declared your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed your strength to this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. And isn't that something that when we're older, we still can have a ministry, and our job is to give it to the next generation, pass the torch. And so that is something that I'm thanking the Lord that he's given me the opportunity to do, and want to continue on as long as I have two things: mental ability and physical strength. Just keep serving. Retirement could come later. Just keep busy for the Lord. Well, now in the brief time that remains to us, I want to encourage you to share your testimony with people that you come in contact with. How many of you ever wanted to witness to someone? You didn't know how or where to begin, maybe, but you wanted to witness to someone. Well, this happened to me recently. I have a cousin that lives over here in the northeast part of Des Moines. I went to visit her a few days back. And she was using profane language, but she really needs to know the Lord. Tough to crack a nut like that, you know. Not that I have to crack the nut. Again, what am I going to do, Lord? I shared my testimony with her. That's the thing. And I want to tell you, there are some great advantages when we want to witness to someone, share the gospel, to sharing our testimony. I want to share with you about three main advantages that we have. Well, first of all, you are an expert on your conversion experience. Now, Will Rogers, that great humorist of yesteryear, said we're all ignorant only in just different areas. I mean, how much do you know of all the things that you could know? Little teeny half of a drop in a thimble, you know. But one thing you do know, you're an expert on your conversion experience. You were there when it happened and you ought to know. And it's easy to share something that you know about, you know? And so therefore, you've got a great advantage. Another advantage to sharing your testimonies and witnessing to others is the fact that, generally speaking, most people are interested in another person's religious experience. I mean, if there were this German that went down to Thailand and he became a Buddhist, and he's sharing with me how he became a Buddhist, I would be interested in that. I would feel sorry for him, I'd pray for him, but you know, I'd be interested in that because I'm interested in people's experiences. And so that gives us a good opening because of people's interest in our religious or conversion experience. And then another advantage is this. It gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity in an indirect way to bounce the gospel from our heart to the heart of another person. Without preaching at them, we're sharing with them. And this is efficient. This is very effective. So we got these advantages to sharing our testimony with others. Now, there's some cautions that we need to take into account as we share a testimony with others. Number one caution is that we need to have a life that backs up our testimony. You know, the lost are very good at being able to quote a verse in James, faith without works is dead. So if they don't see the works that back up what we say about our conversion experience, we should keep our mouths closed. We need to have a life that's testimonious, not just lips that are testimonious for the Lord. And I think it's one reason why a lot of us don't witness more is because we don't have a good Christian life. Really, our lives are lacking. And if you are following the Savior, you'll be fishing. We need to share the gospel. So that's a caution. We need to have a life that will back that up. Another caution that we need to have is we need to be humble. There, but for the grace of God, we would be in that same position that that person is to whom we're witnessing. We need to be humble, not say, well, look how good I am now that Jesus has saved me. No, it's all about Him, not about us. We need to brag about Jesus. There was a man by the name of Schultz, and he started the Hiawatha Lands Baptist Mission, which is now Continental Baptist Mission. I don't think he was ever ordained. God used him. He raised up missionaries that work up there in the Northland, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and so forth, Hiawatha Land. And he said, I go around bragging about Jesus. That's what we need to do. I want to tell you about my friend. Tell you about my best friend and brag about Jesus. We need to be humble about that and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as we share our testimony. Then another caution that we need to keep in mind is within our testimony, we need to incorporate the Word of God. People aren't going to get saved by our experience. They're going to get saved by the Word of God. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's got to be the Word of God. It could be paraphrased a little bit, but you need to get as close as you can to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Oh, Peter says it this way. 1 Peter. And I think it's 2:13. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we need to incorporate the Word of God in our testimony, because that is the agent that the Holy Spirit uses to bring the new birth. Now, here are the key elements that I think we should incorporate into our testimony. I'm going to do a combination of two things. I'm going to share my testimony with you, and I'm going to put these four main elements in the testimony, and I want to encourage you to write out your testimony. If you have a computer, put it in the word processor, write it by hand, and go over it. Get these verses down, and you'll be able to memorize your testimony, as I have done, and you can share it with somebody in the dark. You don't even have to be able to read anything, okay? Here it goes. When I was 17, I worked at a gas station across the street from Olivet Baptist Church. And I saw the young people playing games out there in front of the church, and I went over there to join them. I started going to Sunday school and the young people's meetings, and I just loved those people because they didn't put any pressure on me to receive Christ. They just loved me. And it came time for a weekend youth retreat at Pine Lake Bible Camp in Eldora, and I didn't have enough money to go to the camp. I didn't have enough money to go to this retreat. And I told the ones that invited me, I'm sorry, I can't go. I don't have the funds. And they had a deacon's fund. So they gave me $5 for the retreat. Now, you know that was a long time ago, if you could go to a weekend retreat for $5. Right? It was 1956, just before Labor Day. It was a Labor Day weekend retreat. They gave me a dollar to spend besides the $5. That impressed my heart. And I'm home alone, August 31st, 1956, brushing my teeth, 9 o'clock at night, and I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to be like those people at Olivet Baptist Church. And the Holy Spirit, in no uncertain terms, impressed upon my heart and life, Gary, if you want to be like them, you've got to receive their Savior. And I knew the gospel. I knew that, now here are the elements. I knew that God loved me, John 3:16. For God so loved Gary that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, Gary, believes in Him, Gary would not perish. I knew that. And I knew that I was lost. I thank the Lord that at least I knew that I was lost. For Gary hath sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. I knew that. And I knew that the wages of sin is death. I knew if I died, I wouldn't have gone to heaven. And so I was convicted of my sin. I knew that Christ had died for me. Oh, yes. God commends or shows His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. I knew those facts. Here, but not here, you see. And that was the difference. But this night, the Holy Spirit said, Gary, you need to accept Christ really in your heart and in life. So I ran into my bedroom. I didn't walk. I trotted, went fast into my bedroom and knelt down. And I repented of my sins. I said to the Lord, oh Lord, forgive me. I tried to name all my sins. I couldn't remember them all, and I was worried that I couldn't be saved if I couldn't remember all my sins. But the Lord reminded me, I died for the sins that you can remember, and I died for the sins you can't remember. I died for your sins. So I received Him, and I was born again that night. The first time in my life I really had peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. And so I went to camp the next day, and I shared my testimony with Frank Howell, who was my best friend in high school, and with a camp nurse. I don't know if you were at that retreat, Paula. You might have been at that retreat. You probably were. And so that was my testimony. I'd share that with my cousin. I was on a park bench in front of Dallas Seminary's single men's dorm one night, and a homosexual guy came up to me and said, you know where such and such a gay bar is? I didn't know what gay bars were. I said, no. And I was burdened for him, so I prayed real quick, Lord, help me to know what to say to this young man. And the Lord prompted me to share my testimony with him. I was selling Bibles and books door to door, and I happened to come upon an Amish man named Christ Stolzfus in Pennsylvania at his milk barn. And I didn't know how to witness to an Amish man. And so I shared my testimony with him. He said, oh, that must be a wonderful thing to know, you're going to heaven. So I knew he needed to know the Lord because he had no assurance. And so that is a tremendous weapon that we have in our armory, is our personal testimony. Now, as we have a couple of minutes to bring this thing to a conclusion, I want to share an illustration of how powerful your testimony is. When I was a chaplain in the North Carolina Army National Guard, I was with the field artillery. I just served all these men, a few women, in the field artillery. And they have these big howitzers. I mean, this is the size of the barrel. And they said to me, Chaplain, do you want to pull the lanyard? When you pull the lanyard, that ignites the shell and the shell goes out. And so I asked him, how far did that shell go that I shot off? Boom, I had to put we had to have earplugs in. Boom! They said 13 miles. 13 miles. And I think that our testimony, the one that I shared, incorporating those key gospel verses, is like a howitzer. It's not a pea shooter. It's like a howitzer. And I would challenge you, beloved Christians here this morning, use your howitzer. Use your testimony. Work on it. Polish it down. Keep in mind that we have some advantages. We know it. There are people that are interested. They'll listen. And the Holy Spirit can use it indirectly as He speaks to people's hearts from our heart. And we need to be careful, to have a life that backs it up. And to be humble and incorporate the Word of God. Oh, that's so important. And I just challenge you to do that. And I'll turn this back over to the pastor, but there are any here today that need to put head knowledge into heart knowledge. This would be a great day for you to be born again by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Pastor, we turn it back over to you. Thank you for your rapt attention. Don't forget to sign up for our email letter if you'd like to get that.
Amen. I hope that you're saved this morning. I hope that God has changed your heart and you have a testimony that you can share. But if you have not yet believed on Jesus Christ, I encourage you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as Gary shared the gospel, how God saved Gary, God can save you even right this morning, right where you're sitting. Believe on Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Stephen, come and lead us in our closing hymn.
Let's stand together and sing 379. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And whenever we surrender our lives to Him, what joy we have. And God wants us to be living our lives for Him. And God wants us to be using our mouths to share with others how they too can experience this wonderful joy divine. Take my life and let it be.
Lord, we thank You that You are working beyond the walls of this church and this congregation. Lord, we thank You for the Salmons and their diligent work. I pray, Father, that You would provide them with what is necessary that they may continue to serve You in this fantastic ministry to, Father, educate and deepen the faith of men, nationals around the globe, so that they may proclaim Your gospel, Your truth, Your Son, to those around them as well. So, Lord, I pray that You would go with them. Father, I pray that our prayers would go with them as well. And, Father, that we ourselves would also take it, Father, upon ourselves, knowing what You have done for us, to share it to those around us who need to know, Father, who need to understand that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray that He would be magnified and glorified in that we do that, and in everything else that we do, whether we eat or drink. And Lord, I thank You as well for the time of fellowship we will be having shortly. And I pray that, Father, it would be a true time of fellowship that would be encouraged in You and in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank You for all those who have prepared it. And Lord, I pray that it would be our purpose then to go out and worship You in our lives, both outwardly and inwardly, throughout this week and forever. Amen. As we mentioned already, there is a fellowship downstairs. You probably can hear, smell the food. So go ahead on down, and let's enjoy lunch there.